Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب لله وأبغض لله فقد استكمل إيمانه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected ulama, elders and brothers, whilst we will witness in the media gross human right violation against the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and perhaps regarding this ummah, speaking of abuse of human rights or human right violation, may be a term of the past, it may be regarded as history, it may be antiquated. Today, if you look at the Amnesty International reports, they are now using the word dehumanization. In other words, this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no more been regarded as humans in the eyes of the enemies of Islam. And when we look and we observe these dehumanizing actions, atrocities and genocides against the ummah, undoubtedly it creates within our hearts multitudes of emotional conditions. Amongst these conditions that one will witness is one of frustration, one of anger and bitterness. Today we will discuss an aspect that inshallah will deal with this issue at its grassroots level. And when we come to grips with this, and in the light of a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahabba lillah, that person who loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa abghadha lillah, and that person who hates for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, faqad istakmala imana, has certainly completed his iman. So whilst we observe these atrocities, these acts of dehumanization, that enmity and that anger and frustration sits within our hearts, and this begins to occupy us to such an extent that we forget the first part of the hadith, man ahabba lillah, that person who loves for the sake of Allah. We have been so overfed with the media. We have been so saturated with these atrocities that we forget to reflect and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of course his beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second aspect, if we look around us, human behavior among the ummah has also steeped to an extreme low. If you look at interpersonal relationships between family members, husbands and wives, fathers and children, brothers and sisters, we will find that not long ago a person said that I wish my father was dead. Now if this is that interpersonal relationship that you and I are experiencing at this particular time, then we need to address the issue from the perspective of muhabbat and love. And then inshallah, we will find that it will permeate and it will move, it will transcend the boundaries of this ummah, and of course it will transcend throughout the entire world. Looking at this in the light of the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will find that the core of emotions, the core of human behavior, the core of interpersonal relationship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has set down, the platform that he has set down in the ahadith, he speaks of rifq. He speaks of compassion. He speaks of kindness. He speaks of softness. And not only does Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam advocate this, but if we look through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will find many such incidents. We will find many such occurrences that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had exercised this extreme compassion, and it became a way and a means for people to accept the deen of Islam. Whilst with absolutely no criteria whatsoever, the un-Islamic and the non-Muslim world is trying to set down some criteria, some foundation of human rights. You and I as ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has forgotten the message of the last Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whilst the West will advocate a theory that democracy is the last institute on this earth, you and I need to remember, when we speak of democracy, the institute of secular democracy, we need to understand that the Quran, the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the last and the final word of Allah Rabbul Izzat. We go, for example, to the occasion of the expedition of Khaybar, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had camped for that particular expedition, a shepherd who was dark skinned began to observe Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu's relationship among each other. And immediately an ordinary shepherd began to wonder that if this is relationship between humans, then I will have to meet with their leader. He made queries and he was taken to the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the riwayat it is stated that the tent of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not of canvas or leather, but on that particular occasion the tent of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was made of the leaves of the date palms. It was a very low tent. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there. And when this shepherd was ushered to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his mind began to wonder that what type of leader is this that enjoys such humbleness, such simplicity. When he sees Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, immediately within his heart the desire had occurred to make some queries about the deen of Allah. And he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, should I accept your way of life, what is the guarantee that I will get? Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam responds and he says, my brother, if you embrace this deen, then we will embrace you as a brother. This person objects to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that I am dark skinned. My body stinks. How is it possible that a person like you, possessing such purity, will embrace me? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds that the darkness of your body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transform it into the glow of iman. That stink that you have and you speak about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will transform that into the fragrance of Jannah. On hearing this, this person accepts the deen and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now that I have embraced your deen, what is your command? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, brother, you have accepted this deen on such an occasion at such a time, where it is not even the time of salah that I may command you to perform salah. It is not even the month of Ramadan that I may command you to fast. You do not have the means, and even zakat has not become compulsory upon you. However, we are participating in this jihad, participate. And this person asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what is the guarantee if I participate? He says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that there is two states. One is of a fighter, a warrior, and the other is of a martyr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that if you are martyred, then I guarantee you Jannat. The battle takes place, and after the battle, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum go out in search of the mayyit, of the bodies of all those who had become shaheed. And there was this one body that no Sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could identify. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes there and he sees this person, he says to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that none of you recognize him but I do. He accepted the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as I watch him, I witness that the angels are making his ghusl. That darkness he spoke about regarding his body, Allah has transformed it into the light. And that stench that he spoke about, Allah has transferred the fragrance of Jannah onto his body. Respected and dear friends, when we look at this riwayat, and one aspect of this riwayat in one narration is, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before commanding this person to fight and go out in the path of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explicitly commands him to return the animals of the person who he was holding in trust. In other words, his master, his employer. It was a time of jihad. The employer formed part of the enemy. This could have been taken if misconstrued as the ghanimat, the booty. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you have taken it as an amanat, you will return it. And this person unquestionably did this. So when you look at these incidences in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, we will find that extreme respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for another human. Whether at the stage, the initial stages, that person may have been a kafir, that person may have been of whatever menial task and responsibilities he may have been carrying out, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had always met a person, embraced a person, and obviously spoke to a person with that degree of compassion that immediately aroused within an individual the deen of Allah and the inquiry about the deen of Allah. And like that, we will find throughout the ahadith another example. Was once as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going out in the path of Allah. It was the time for adhan, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded that the adhan be given out. And as the muadhin said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in the echoes of that Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears some children also repeat Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Like we often find when we hear the adhan, the people on the streets will also sometimes echo the words of the adhan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had observed that there were a few youngsters. And as they were playing, and the adhan was being called out, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, these youngsters also said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And like that, the adhan continued and progressed. And as Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah was said, the youngster also said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, till the adhan was completed. Now when the adhan was completed, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the path of Allah. We can understand the difficulty of a journey. The adhan has been called out. We can understand his response to salah, that he says, in salah is the coolness of my eyes. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls those youngsters and he asks, who was that person that had responded and repeated the words of the adhan? One youngster comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, it was me. His name was Abu Mahzura. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself now begins to give the adhan, and he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he tells that youngster, say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That youngster initially hesitates, and then he repeats, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Because in reality, the kuffar also believed in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, they may have differed in the fact that Allah Rabbul Izzat is one. But when it came to Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that youngster now hesitated a while longer. That this is the actual conflict between our belief and your belief. That if I say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then I am testifying to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after some hesitation, the youngster says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And similarly, as Nabi alayhi salatu was salam repeats the words of the adhan, this youngster continues and he repeats the words of the adhan. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to the end, La ilaha illallah, this youngster says La ilaha illallah, and spontaneously he accepts the deen of Islam. This Abu Mahdhura, just for our information, was a very young sahabi. In the kitabs of fiqh and ahadith, we will find many instances regarding him. But we should also learn an important issue, that when it came to this great call of the adhan, most of us will remember Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu as being the muadhin of Madinatul Munawwara. But together with that, Bilal of Africa was chosen as the muadhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We also need to understand, we will find in many of the riwayat, that together with being the muadhin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was also the treasurer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the 90th year of the Hijrah, for example, the Amul Wufud, when delegations will come to Madina Tayyiba to accept the deen of Allah, it was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was given the responsibility of making funds available, and also with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was given the responsibility of looking after these delegations that came to Madina Tayyiba. To this extent, we will find many riwayat that he would go out and he would borrow money, and Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu sometimes would not have the funds available to pay it, and he would go through great trauma regarding that. Then we will find the other muadhin of Madina Munawwara, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This sahabi was a blind sahabi. And then we will find in Makkah Mukarrama, after Makkah was conquered, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam appoints Abu Mahdhura as the muadhin of Makkah Mukarrama. Now if we look at this whole appointments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then one will begin to understand that if ever there was any concept of affirmative action, brothers, it is not from a secular democratic state. But in actual fact, we will find that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had implemented it, that a person who was crippled with his eyes, a person who could not see, was also appointed as a muadhin. A person who was a foreigner, a person who was dark-skinned, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was appointed by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A person who was young was also appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So respected and dear friends, if we go through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will come to this conclusion, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the utmost respect for the integrity of any individual, any human. To this extent we find that Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he decides to accept this deen of Islam, and he travels to Madina Tayyiba, he passes by the army of Abu Jahl that was at that time marching towards Badr to face the Muslim army. At that time, Abu Jahl obviously would not want any extra or any person to accept this deen of Islam. Exchange of words took place, and Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman with his father Yaman, both of them give an undertaking that we will go to Medina, but we will not join in the fighting. They come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At that time, they accept the deen of Islam. Some sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, were of the opinion and they requested Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously without the knowledge that Huzaifa and his father Hazrat Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhuma had given the enemy the undertaking that they will not participate in the jihad. And in the riwayat it is stated Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his father had this urge to go out and participate in the Battle of Badr. 313 sahaba, 1000 enemies. We can understand the situation, the proportion and the difficulties the Muslims were going through at that time. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Huzaifa, when you have given your word to the enemy, even if it be Abu Jahl, then you cannot break that promise that you have made with him. That respect and the integrity Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, respected and dear friends, need to come in within our lives from the very grassroots levels of our own homes. Between us as parents, as husbands and wives, between us as fathers and children, between us as brothers and sisters, between us as communities, then obviously we will begin to have the love for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which at this time is most important. The commentators of the hadith have expressed an opinion that in this hadith we will find man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. That when Allah Rabbul Izzat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had stated that he who loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah, that it becomes natural that first love needs to come within the heart of an individual for the sake of Allah, in order that hate enters the heart for the sake of Allah. So with this, let us make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala create that muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala create that love within our hearts, so that we will be able to fulfill the huquq and the rights that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has accorded us with, Allah has commanded us with. And like that, inshallah, that muhabbat, that love comes in within us, and then we will find, inshallah, it will be a little different, that now in these crisis situations, more love for the ummah will be evident within an individual, will be saturated in the hearts above the hatred for the enemy. And may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.